All right, so as you're finding your seats, why don't you grab a Bible or your device and open it to John chapter 11. The early church had a regular manner in which they did greeting with one another. It didn't matter what day of the week it was, when they came together as a congregation, the pastor would say to the church, "He is risen," and the congregation would say, "That's right, he is." You know, Easter Sunday is the day in which we remember the greatest day in all of history. The day in which Jesus Christ, after being dead and buried for 3 days, came back to life through the power of the risen God. Now, sometimes I think that as Christians, we can become too familiar with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And to help us with overcome our familiarity with it, I thought this year on Easter, we would look at another resurrection event that Jesus was involved in 2,000 years ago. And the story is one that we can identify with maybe a little bit more easily than the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because the players involved in this story were just normal people. They were just like us. They weren't rich or famous. In fact, if it wasn't for what Jesus Christ was about to do, we would probably never even know their names. Scripture doesn't give us a whole lot of insight into them. We don't know their occupations. We don't even really know how they met Jesus, but we do know that they loved Jesus and Jesus loved them. The story opens in John 11 with Lazarus, this man that loved Jesus and Jesus loved him. He's gotten sick. And the sisters, Mary and Martha, send word to Jesus saying, "Lazarus is sick." And in verse number 4, Jesus says to his disciples who were with him at the time, he says, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so God's Son may be glorified through it." But then he does something strange. Nothing. In fact, the Bible says he stays put for 2 days. And then he tells his disciples, he says, "Okay, let's go check on Lazarus." And the disciples heard, "Hey, Jesus, we just got word. He's already dead." In fact, when they arrive at Bethany, the place where the family lived, the scripture tells us that he had already been dead and buried for 4 days. In this conversation that ensues with the sisters, we learn some important things about God. Now, in these 7 weeks up until now that we've been talking about the I Ams of Christ, we constantly go back to the series Key Truth that says this: God's greatest revelation about himself is seen in Jesus Christ. And so these 7 different times that Jesus makes the statement, "I am," he's actually saying and revealing some truth about God. Now remember, "I am," it was the proper name that God gave to Moses about himself, right? Back in the Old Testament, God told Moses, "My name is I am." And so when Jesus says here in John 11, 25 and 26, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? I mean, think about that. What he's saying about God is that the life that God has for his children can't even be conquered by death. Man, can I get an amen? The life that God has for us can't even be taken away by death. In in the story here in John 11, I think we see four profound ways that it impacts our life. And the first profound impact is this. This I am, this God Jesus, confronts our deepest sadness. Look at verse 17 with me. On his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Let me pray. God, I ask that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ would change everything about our lives today. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, so when Martha hears that Jesus is coming, she runs out to meet him. And friends, you gotta hear the sadness in her voice when she looks at Jesus and she says, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yeah, guys, sadness is a natural emotion when we experience loss. When we lose someone or something that is important to us, it creates a vacuum in our lives. And we can quickly begin to wonder, will that vacuum, will that void ever be filled again? Well, guys, I have some good news for you who are experiencing sadness. It's found in Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. And it's this, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Now, this brokenheartedness this morning in the story comes from the loss related to death in the lives of Mary and Martha. But loss comes in many ways. You know, we can experience loss because of a job, or perhaps it's a friend, a close friend, moving to another part of the country, or a child or a grandchild moving away. Loss comes, even as we experience physical limitations from maybe aging or an accident. Guys, the loss happens, and what we all need to understand is sadness is a healthy emotion when we experience loss. Guys, Jesus, just like he did with Mary and Martha, wants to meet us in our sadness. Can I just ask you a couple questions? I know it's a little personal. You're with a couple hundred strangers today, but is there sadness in your life right now? And are you beginning to question, wonder if Jesus, God, really cares about your sadness? Well, if you do, you're in good company because Mary and Martha were going through the same thing. If you'd have been here, he'd still be alive. Now, the second impact in the story comes in another emotion that we experience when we go through loss. And Jesus, he continues to have a conversation with Martha, right? And then after that conversation with Martha is over, Martha goes and gets her sister Mary. And Mary comes out, and we see that in this part of the conversation, this I am, this God Jesus confronts our worst hurts. Now, for the sake of time, let's start reading in verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they reply. And in verse 35, Jesus wept. Now, before we talk about how Jesus confronts their hurt, let's talk about Jesus and his emotions that he was experiencing at the moment, because it's very important. If we were to unpack the original language, the original language is saying that Jesus was overwhelmed by his emotions. He was perplexed. He was troubled. Jesus cried. Why is it important to know that Jesus cried? Because it tells us that our God is not some distant, unattached being in some far-off place. Our God is an emotional God who experiences the same pain and hurt as we do. So when you go to God and you're crying, and you're not getting it, and you're not understanding it, guys, you know, God says, I know what you're going through because I cried. I cried. Now, what was the hurt? Well, the hurt was pretty evident from both sisters. They said the same thing. If you would have been here, our brother would not be dead. I believe hurt comes into our life when we expect something and we end up with something much less. And all of us, either consciously or subconsciously, we have expectations of God. And friends, when we allow or when we blame God for the tragedies in our life, it becomes a hurt that spirals us downward and separates us more from our God. I had a friend back in Odessa, and he had this saying. He said, you can either get bitter or you can get better. And bitterness happens when we blame God and we allow that tragedy to further separate us from him. But betterness happens when we do what Mary and Martha did. And what did they do? They ran to Jesus. They went to him. And they were honest with him. They didn't try to hide anything. You know how silly it is to hide something from Jesus, who knows us better than we know our hearts? Let him know what you're feeling. I mean, guys, how could they have not expected their friend who they loved and loved them, Jesus, when Jesus heard about Lazarus being sick, to not walk through the front door of the house and heal their brother like he healed so many other people? And then when that doesn't happen, they're hurt. We have to get that, right? It's a natural thing. We need to be honest with him. And when we are honest with him and we run to him with our hurt and our pain, God does something amazing. 1 Peter 5, 10, 11 says this, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Guys, if God, Jesus, has the power to raise dead Lazarus, don't you think he has the power to deal with your hurt as well? That's the I am that is resurrection in life. The third impact is this: I am God. Jesus confronts our greatest enemy. Okay, what is the greatest enemy of life? It has to be death, right? The greatest enemy of life has to be death. Now let's go back. We skipped a big chunk of the story in Martha and Jesus' conversation. So let's go back and pick that up in verse 23. Jesus says to her, this is Martha, right? Your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Now, guys, God tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:26 that the last enemy to be defeated is death. When sin came into our world, death, physical death, began to occur in humanity. And death then became the ultimate enemy of humanity. It doesn't matter the ancient age or the modern age, no one has been able to overcome the enemy of death. And oh, how we have tried, right? How many of you have heard of cryogenics? Raise your hand, right? I mean, cryogenics is the process by which aging or terminally ill people can have their bodies frozen in state for the day that science can bring them back to life and cure their illness. Now, lots of people are doing this, spending big bucks, between $28,000 and $200,000 to have their bodies frozen. And there is no hope or rational thought on the horizon saying that this is ever going to work. So why are they spending $28K or $200K? Because they're trying to conquer death. They're trying to defeat the enemy of death. But guys, only Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, will defeat the enemy of death. Death comes to everyone. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. People fear it because it's the end. You know, when the heart stops beating and the brain stops functioning, guys, there are no do-overs. There are no second chances. There's only eternity. He tells Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. But he says, do you believe this? Death isn't conquered through the resurrection of Jesus Christ until you believe. And then last, fourth, this I am God, Jesus, brings us our most joy. Look at verse 43. Jesus called in a loud voice. He's standing there at the tomb of Lazarus, 4 days dead. Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. I love that. Take off the grave clothes. Lazarus, mummified Lazarus, walking out there in his strips of linen. Get those things off because he is not dead. He's alive. Can you imagine the joy? Remember, man, Mary, Martha, sadness, hurt, death, all replaced by joy. Take off those grave clothes. I am the resurrection and the life. If the resurrection and the life can free Lazarus of his death and his mummy outfit, don't you think the resurrection and the life, the I am of the resurrection and the life, can free you from whatever is binding you today? I do. Joy is the ultimate outcome. Why? Because the enemy has been defeated. Our sadness, our hurt goes away. Okay, I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward here, guys. We're going to sing another couple songs, at the end here as we wrap up Easter Sunday at Fellowship of the Rockies. But as you're doing that, let me just go back to this. I have no idea why you came to church today. And I have no idea what you brought into church with you today. But what I do know is the I Am of the resurrection of the and the life doesn't want you to leave with those things that were binding you. And so, you know, we're going to sing two more songs in worship. And at the end of that time in worship, guys, we have a prayer room. We have some people here who want to help you remove the things that are binding you. They want to open up the scriptures. They want to pray with you right now. They want to continue to pray for you. It's confidential. Nobody but the pastors, them and the pastors know what's going on, guys. On Resurrection Sunday, don't leave here bound. And most important, none of the truths about the resurrection and life of Jesus Christ can be true for you unless you believe. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ died, that Jesus Christ came back to life, then none of these truths are your truths. So I just want to ask everyone real quick to bow their heads and to close their eyes. And if you're here today and you say, Stu, I haven't believed, I haven't accepted Jesus as my Savior, but I want to today, then all you need to do is simply and silently from your heart to God's ears, repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I know I've sinned and messed up, but I believe that Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection can give me life. God, as best as I know how, I ask you into my heart and my life. Change me from the inside out. And it's in the name of Jesus I pray.